There's growing concern that residents of the cyclone-hit West Australian tourist town of Kalbarri may not be able to rebuild their homes for at least 2 years due to labour and material shortages, as well as delays in insurance payouts. The popular coastal destination is 700 kilometres north of Perth, and it, along with Northampton, were devastated when a rare weather event battered the towns on Sunday night. Steve Cable is the SES manager at Kalbarri, and he joins me now. Steve, welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
Can you talk me through the cleanup effort? Where are you today?
There's a mammoth task, as you know, and we've got lots and lots of crews out. First of all, assessing the damage, what's actually happening, what's salvageable, what's not, and then where we can offer assistance, we're going in and stabilising buildings, tarping buildings, doing all those things to try and bring the town back to normality, which is never going to happen at the moment, of course, but for the individual, some people are stabilised. Psychologically, they're appreciative, and we just keep building down that road from the coalface. Then in the rear echelon of it all, because operation, you have people out the front, and then you have to have all the infrastructure to support it. There is so much support coming in from all parts of the system to ensure that we're giving the best service, the best support, both morally and physically, to the people of this town.
So what does interim normality look like for most people? Is that sort of finding a way to stay in their homes, but that they are supported some other way? Are they getting temporary fixes to bits and pieces of their homes that might have been damaged?
Well, that's the ultimate goal of everyone, of course. But then the reality kicks in, and it might be beyond repair. But it's not just losing the home. Imagine if, because this is a tourist town, imagine if you lost your business. How long is tourism going to be before it can come back? How much infrastructure have I lost in my business? So you're not only worried about your home, you now lost the business, you lost your income. It's a pretty tough gig and a pretty tough blow for everyone.
And in terms of the scale of the damage, what are we talking about? Are we talking about roofs being taken off houses, or are there more widespread structural issues? What's the scale of it?
All of the above. If you want we're still doing assessments, but basically 70% of the town has been houses and structures have been impacted in one form or another. We think 40 to 45% of houses is very severe impacts. And then there's roughly 10% that we just can't do anything with. It's just too far gone structurally. It's condemnable. Then, of course, you've got all the power lines down, so no one's got power. Thank goodness it's not 45, 50 degree heats. So we've got no power, which is problematic because now people they can't store food and things like that. So then you've got trees down, massive amount of trees down. So it's a whole complex of problems which we're dealing with on a daily basis, and it's going to take a while, but we'll keep going until we can do no more.
And how many people are still living in the town?
Look, I couldn't tell you that. We had to evacuate all the tourists that were here, which was, and I don't know the figures, but I'm going to say roughly 8,000 people, middle of the school holidays. And we
had
to evacuate them.
That's a huge effort in itself.
Oh, absolutely. We had to get them out of town. And, of course, we can't force people, but by social media, by outlining the reasons why, we got nearly everyone out of town. Thank goodness we did. Otherwise, I'm sure there would have been some severe injuries. The amount of people left, I don't know. I don't know how many people actually vacated from the scene when the cyclone was coming or how many have left since, but I wouldn't have said that there was, I don't want to give a figure, but, you know, it's less than 1,000 people, I would think.
And I understand there are some people living in their homes without roofs. How is that working? Are people able to stay in their homes?
So long as it's stable, in other words, there's no fear of something falling down and there's no severe weather, either A, strong winds or rain, then it can work, assuming that all their structures are stable outside of those ones I mentioned. So it's all right as a temporary fix, but, of course, we've only got to have some inclement weather high winds or something, and the whole thing becomes quite frightening and it becomes untenable. So,
and what about the forecast? What about the forecast for the next couple of days?
Well, there's no real issue. It's nice sunshine. It's quite temperate weather. So at the moment we've got a reprieve. So how long that'll last, I don't know.
Is there, I mean, I understand there might be a problem with asbestos in some of the damaged buildings. How serious is that problem? How's that being handled within the middle of all this mass cleanup work? Okay.
There is some asbestos out. It's not everywhere, but it is. And people do get confused with fibre cement and asbestos. So we've been dealing with it. As far as I know, they're getting specialists in that have got asbestos licences, and they're going to go around and treat and remove as required. So the biggest problem with the asbestos, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, by the way, is that people, as soon as you mention it, people get quite concerned about it, and probably the concerns are probably higher than the reality.
The Defence Force has arrived in the town too. What are they helping you with, and what other services have arrived along with them?
Okay, so we've got DFIS, which is our state's emergency response, fire, SES, and et cetera. So we've got those people here in droves, which is fantastic.
Are they supplying food? Are they supplying clothing?
No, they're more logistics, administration, incident control systems, resources. They do organise for people to bring food in. So they do organise all that, and they're responsible for it. So they do all those sorts of things, shelter for all the workers here, because there's a lot of them. We also have Parks and Wildlife in. They're doing a massive job at the moment, cleaning up all the debris and the roofs off the road and on the medium strips. And I believe the Army are coming in as well to assist in those tasks as well.
And Steve, I know this is a bit more of an abstract question, but what is the energy like? Are people's spirits okay? I mean, it's day three. Obviously, there's a lot to take in.
Yes. I mean, people were shattered initially. There's still people shattered. There's been a lot of guilt by people too, because their house might have been all right and their friends weren't. And, of course, that's an empathy thing, but they sort of feel guilty. As far as I can see, with the people, mate, we're hurting, but they're resilient. They're looking out for each other. They know we're working our butts off to help them. And, mate, we'll hold hands and we'll keep doing it.
Steve, thank you for being here. Good luck with the cleanup. We're thinking of you and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Steve Cable is the Kalbarri SES manager. I'm Elizabeth Koolass. You're listening to RN Drive.